We're holding on Muhammad Ali from a base, the third line of the wide lines. We're in the middle of figuring out, the Gemara had discussed yesterday that there were 9 takanis that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. Seven of them were in our Masechta, one in the first parak, 6 in our parak. Then we had the eighth one was about a ger that he doesn't have to set aside money for his carbon anymore, and we were in the middle of figuring out what the 9th one is. We had Rav Papa had said that it was the one about Kerem Revai, where we find that Rabbi Eliezer thought that what they're going to do with this Kerem Revai after the Chorv anyway, we'll leave it as Hefker for the poor people. It's too much of a hassle to take it to Yerushalayim. And Talmidim told him, your friends, your colleagues have already been matir it, and your colleagues would mean Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We'll talk about it soon. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't his colleague. He was his Rebbe, so how could we be saying that? But we'll get that. Rab Nachmeitzel comes along and shows the Horus. Rab Nachmeitzel says that the 9th takana was the one about the red string. The Tanya, we learn in a Braitha, we have this back in Yoma. Marishona Hoyu Koshin Rosh and Shalah Horus Alpesach Ulam of Achutz. Originally on Yom Kippur, they used to tie a red string on the door of the Ulam, the entrance to the Heichel on the outside. Hilbin Hoyu Smechim. If it turned white, everybody was happy. It showed that Hashem forgave their Averus. Loy Hilbin Hoyu Atsevim. And if it didn't turn white, they'd be upset. His skin or shoe closer knows our Pesach Olam of Nim, so they made a takana instead that they should tie it on the inside of the door. That way, not everybody sees it. Vadain hoy mitzit in Veroyan, but still people would peek inside and see. Hilben hoy smechen, and still if it turned white, everybody would be happy. Loy hilben hoy mitzavin, if it didn't turn white, everybody would be upset. His skin or shoe closer knows his chetzu basel of a chetzu ben kanam shal sorry mashalayach. So they ended up making a takana that the person who takes the sorry lazazel takes the red strip along with him and ties half of it to a rock and half of it to the head of the animal, so no, that way he's the only one who sees, or at least who sees close by, yeah. And now in that way, not everybody is disappointed like that.
Even if they were in a down state, they were...
Right, well, we talked about in Yuma then whether the explanation is whether the problem was the fact that everybody was upset when it turned white, or maybe the other way around. Maybe the problem was that they were being too happy when it turned white. You know, Yom Kippur is, you still have to do tshuva for you. You still have to do tshuva. You can't just rely on the fact the thing turned white, therefore putter, you know. So, yeah. It all depends how you look at it. It was a miracle, but still, you know. So then the his skin, according to Rav Nachmeitzchok, would be that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai basically made that takana.
That the
guy takes it with him, right? Now, Rav Nachmeitzchok, my time of Amak Rav Papa. Now, why doesn't Rav Nachmeitzchok agree with Rav Papa? Why does he say that the case of the Kerem Revai is the one which is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's 9th takana? Omalach, because he'll tell you. If you're telling me Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is the one who made takana, what do you mean? Chaver of Rabbi Elazar mihava? He wasn't really as a chaver. Rabbi hava. It'll be in this Shabbos of Pirkei Avos again, Perek Beis, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one had 5 talmidim, and the first one of them is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hofni, the Rabbi Eliezer of Gemara. So what do you mean? What do you mean? Your chaverim made the takana. It's a Greek name, but so what? A lot of people in those days had Greek names. Not necessarily. For example, Tarfon, on the face of it, is a Greek name. Dosa, at least on the face of it, is a Greek name. No, we find a number of the Chachamim who had ostensibly a Greek name. Antignus Ishtocha, you don't get much more Greek than that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the name itself doesn't mean anything. I was actually reading an interesting article that we found. We were talking yesterday about the cemetery in Beit Sha'arim, where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and many other great people are buried. Apparently, it became a very popular place to be buried, sort of like nowadays people want to be buried near the oil. So they found over there what may be the graves of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and his wife, because they actually found, it's marked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, whether it's the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi of Shas, I don't know, but anyway, his wife has a Greek name. So what, you know? Mega. The great. Yeah. Anyway. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is his Rebbe, not his Chaver. So you can't say that it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is based in that did the Takana. The Idach, and what would Rav Papa answer to that? He would say, Kivud Talmidim Havu, since these people who are speaking to Rabbi Eliezer are his own Talmidim, Lav Orach Aro L'Rabbe Rabach. It's not Derech Eretz to say to your Rebbe did such and such. Like as if, you know, your Rebbe needs a Rebbe of his own. You treat your Rebbe like Hashem. You know. Yeah, out of respect, so you call any of the previous generations, you call them like his colleagues, even though in fact they may have been a teacher. Vira Papa, my time, I'm a Krib Nachma Yitzchok. Okay, why doesn't Papa say like Krib Nachma Yitzchok that the Takana of the Loshen Shal Zahoris is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's 9th Takana? Amalach, he'll tell you, because if you're going to tell me that it was Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made the takana, then you have a problem with the year. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai may have a lush and shall the hurt. In Rabbi Yechim and time, did this red string b'chlal even turn white anymore? The lush and shall the hurt. This red ribbon, did it b'chlal turn white anymore? V'altanya, but we learn it up right. The kol shneitzav for Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai meya v'etzim shana, the total lifespan of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was 120 years, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Mem shana osek for prakmatia. For 40 years he spent doing business. He learned Torah during that time, obviously, but he was also involved in business. Yeah. Mem shana lomad. For 40 years he exclusively learned Torah. Mem shana limit. And for 40 years he taught. So when he became 80 is when he became leader of the Jewish people. When he became the head of the Nafi or the Abbasin, whatever it was. Only then can you talk about him making takanas. And Vitanya, and we learn in another Braisa, which we had in Yuma as well, Mem Shana Kodim Shenecha Rabbais, Lahoy Loshen Shal Zaharis Malvin, for 40 years before the Churban, the red ribbon was not turning white, Elamadim, it was staying red. So the last 40 years before the Churban, it was staying, that was already one of the Simonim, that the Churban is coming closer. Utsvan, and we learn in our Mishnah, Mishachar Rabbais, Hiskin Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made a Sakonis, which means, in other words, what does that mean? It means Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai lived for some time after the Churban. Okay, we don't know exactly how long. It could have just been a year or two, but even if it was only a year, even let's say he passed away 2 years after the Churban, and there's evidence that it's not necessarily so. There's evidence that he lived about eight or nine years after the, whatever it is, even let's say it was 2 years after the Churban. It means, when did he become, when he turned 80 years old and he became Rosh, and he became the Rosh Beis Din, is already within the 40 years before the Churban. Because you understand why? Because he was 120, let's say 2 years after the Churban. That means he was 118 when the Churban happened. So then 40 years before it, when it stopped turning white, is 78. He's 78. He's still in his 40 years of learning. He's not yet becoming the limit that he's teaching the whole Jewish people. So how is he making takanis? And obviously, once it stopped turning white, there's no sense in making a takana. It's too late already. To make a takana that you send it along with the Sarah Mishnah. Yeah. The idach. So what would Rav Nachman Yitzchok answer to that? He says, Oisim Abayim Shana Dilama, during the 40 years that he was learning, wasn't just learning on his own. Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabbi Haba, he was a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe. We learn in various places in Shas that the various Bate Din of those times had groups of Talmidim sitting in front of them. The Talmidim would be, I mean, they sometimes they could speak up during a case if they had evidence to offer in favor of the person who was being accused. There was also, you know, they'd fill vacancies in the Sanhedrin from them, etc. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is one of those Talmidim. I'm saying they had the 23 or 71 members of the Sanhedrin, and then in front of them you had rows of students. They weren't part of the Sanhedrin. That's the thing. They're learning within the Sanhedrin building, right? But they're learning from the members of the Sanhedrin. Yeah. Yeah. Indeed, watching how they judge, etc. Yeah, but it was also, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that there were times, for example, if you have somebody accused, and one of the Talmidim says, you know what, I have evidence in his favor, then you listen to him. So sometimes they'd speak up during the deliberations, hello? And then if there was a vacancy, if somebody passed away or otherwise resigned, then they'd fill the vacancies from these Talmidim. Anyway, so Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is one of these Talmidim during these 40 years. But Amar Milta, so he said something. He pointed out, you know, we have a problem with this Lashon Shel Zaharis. It's not always turning white and people are getting disappointed. Why don't we send it along? With the Sarah Meshaleah? The Sabatame, and what he said, the reasoning that he said made sense. His Rebbe accepted it. The Kaveh Rabbi Bishmei, so his Rebbe, meaning presumably Hillel, set it up, established it in his name. The Takana is officially made by the Sanhedrin, but they credited it to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai because he's the one who came up with the idea. So therefore, it can be considered one of his Takanas, even though he was only a Talmud at the time, because it was his idea. So when we say, in other words, when we say, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, when we say Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made 9 Takanas, what we really mean is he made 8 Takanas when he was the head of the Sanhedrin, and one beforehand, one when he was still a student, which he came up with the idea for a Takana that was made by Hillel and Shammai and the other members of the Sanhedrin of that time. It still counted as his Takana because it was his idea, yeah. One of the things we do on Rosh Hashanah, besides that we blow shofar, is we have the special brachas that we say in Muslim. So this Mishnah and the Gemara is going to deal with those brachas and the psukim in them. Seder brachas, the order of the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Oim Avos, you start by saying the bracha Avos, like you always do, the bracha Morgan Abraham, Ugvorois, and the bracha Atagibur, Machayam Esim, Ukdushat Hashem, and the bracha Ukdushat Hashem, Atakadosh, the year round that ends Akela Kadosh, and Rosh Hashanah that ends Amelach Kadosh, anyway. The Kolom Malchius Imahim, then you combine together Malchius together with Kedushat Hashem. So you start the Baruch after Kadosh Hashem HaKadosh, and then instead of finishing off Baruch HaTashem HaKel or Amelach HaKadosh, you put in there all the thing of Malchius. You put in there Aleinu and all the Pesukim of Malchius. And you finish off with something that represents both, the Kedushah of Hashem and that he's Melech HaKalaret. The Einu Tekeh, but you don't blow shofar at that point. Kedushat Hayim Tekeh, then you say the Baruch of Kedushat Hayim after V'chartanu, ending with Mekadosh Yisrael V'yem as a Koran, V'tekeya, and then you blow shofar. Zichronus V'tekeya, you say the bracha of Zichronus and you blow shofar. Shofarus V'tekeya, you say shofarus and then you blow. V'omer Avoda, V'hoidah, V'rkos Koinim, and then you say the last three brachas of Shemana Esrei, Avoda, which is Ritzei, Hoidah, which is Moedim, and V'rkos Koinim, which is Sim Shalom. Because we say V'hoshav Avoda, V'rbisecha. It's the bracha that Hashem should accept their avoda. In the times of the Beis Mikdash, the bracha was formulated that Hashem should accept the avoda that's being done in the Beis Mikdash. Nowadays, after the Churban, instead we say that Hashem should return the avoda to the Beis Mikdash. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. That's the order that you. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said to him, "Im ena tekel malchus. If you're not blowing after malchus anyway, lama hu mazki? Why are you bothering mentioning them?" According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the point is you don't want there to be a break between the tekiyas. So you don't want to have the tekiyas together with malchus, and then in between you're going to have the whole bracha of kedushas hayoyim, the whole bracha of atav hachartanu until makadosh yisrael v'yem ezekaron, and no tekiyah after that, and then you're going to have two more with tekiyas. It's like there's a big break in the middle. That's why he's saying you want to not do tekiyas after malchus and instead do it after kedushas hayoyim. But Rabbi Akiva is saying in that case, why are you even bothering saying malchus if you're not blowing shofar after it?
Now we're blowing after each.
Wait, so what do we do? Ella, so what you do is, and this is the halacha, the way we do it, the way that Rabbi Akiva is going to say is the way that we do it. You say the first three brachas, v'kolo malchus and kedushas hayom, you include malchus not together with kedushas hashem, not with together with atah kadosh, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, but rather with atah v'chartanu. So we start off atav hachartanu, we do the psukim of the kavanas, mosif, etc., and then we start aleinu and continue with the section of malchus, and we finish off with the double bracha, melech hakol ha'aretz, mekadosh yisrael v'yem ezekaron. V'tekeya, and then you blow shofar, zichron is v'tekeya, shofar is v'tekeya, v'omer avoda v'hador v'rkos koinim. And that's exactly what we do, as we'll see in the Gemara. I have seen somebody point out, though, that actually there's somebody who put together an edition of the Master of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with variants from manuscripts and all kinds of interesting things. Daniel Goldschmidt, his name was. He writes actually that first of all the Yerushalmi mentions, and we'll have in the Gemara a hint to this idea that the minhag in the Galil in the north of Eretz Yisrael was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, and the minhag in the south of Eretz Yisrael was like Rabbi Akiva says in our Mishnah. But actually we have, and we'll see something about that in the Gemara, but actually even nowadays, even though the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, we still have, the fact is, he says, the fact that we have that whole expanded version of Atah Kadosh in the Tulos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the whole part of V'chein Yiskadosh Shimcha, V'chein Kein Pachtecha, etc., and the fact that we end up with HaMelech HaKadosh is kind of a vestige of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion. That he says that you would actually, that's where you would be saying all the Pesukim of Malchus. So even though we don't, we say them in the next bracha, we still have a vestige of that by having some of this, in the bracha Kela Kaddish.
So at some point,
so at some point, people changed and started doing, as the Gemara is going to say. You have the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva.
But in that sense, though, we make those changes
in the bracha Kela Kaddish. The Ritva, by the way, says an interesting thing. Why is the Mishnah bothering to mention the first and last brachas of Shemoneh Esrei? Those are a given, you say them all the time. So he says, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that those you say exactly as you say the rest of the year. Even though you have the minhag to say Zachrenu and Mikamecha and Uksoiv and so forth, it's not absolutely required. And in fact, that's the halacha. We do say them, but if you forget them, you don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei because they're not considered an essential part of davening. The essence is just what it says over here, Ovas, Gvoros, and Kluchas Hashem, and so forth. Sigmund says, when it says, Omele Rabbi Akiva, I made it to Kehla Malchus, Lomo Humazki, when Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not blowing shofar for Malchus, why are you mentioning them? You might ask, what do you mean, Lomo Humazki? What do you mean, why are you mentioning them? Rachmana Omo Itko, the Torah says, you have to say Malchus, says we're going to bring Sukkim soon. Ella, no, what Rabbi Akiva means is Loma Eser. Why in that case should he be saying 10 Sukkim in Malchus? Lema Tesha, just say 9. The whole Ishtini Ishtini. Once, according to you, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, that Malchus is different than all the other ones, that you're not blowing shofar after it, already make another difference in it as well. Don't do the full 10 psukim that we're going to have in the next Mishnah. Rather, do 9 psukim instead. That's the rationale. Once you're making it different, then make it different in another way as well to demonstrate that it's different. There's actually a Pirush on the Rambam, and also the Noda B'Yehuda says something somewhat similar, that the idea is if you're blowing shofar, where the idea of shofar is to that Hashem should remember us for good, then it's appropriate to say 10 psukim. But if you're not going to be blowing shofar, if you're not going to be blowing shofar, then take out one of those psukim, because then like you're not arousing Hashem's rachamim. Then you're just declaring that Hashem is king, which is a matter of gvura kind of. There's no rachamim to sweeten it, sort of. So therefore, reduce it and say 9 instead. How do we know that you say the bracha of avos? Shenema, the pasuk says, "Havu Hashem b'nei elim, give honor to Hashem, the sons of elim." The sons of Elim means the sons of the powerful ones. The Avos are powerful. We learned back in the first paragraph they're called Esanim, the ones who are powerful and they're Amunah and so forth. So give to Hashem b'nei Elim, because you're the sons of the powerful ones. So therefore mention the bracha of the Avos. Umenayin Shem and Gvuras. How do we know you say the bracha of Gvuras? Atagibur. Shenem Ahavu Hashem covered Va'oz. Give to Hashem power and strength. So we mention Hashem's strength in that bracha. Umenayin Shem and Kedushas. And how do we know that you say the bracha of Kedushas of Atakadosh? Shenem Ahavu Hashem kavod Shemoy. Give to Hashem the glory that's due to His name. Ishtachvu Hashem b'hadras Kodesh, and bow to Hashem in the glory of holiness.
We say that.
We don't say that kapitel specifically on Yom Kippur, but we say it on Shabbos, yeah. But actually, the Gemara mentions in Brachas that it's from that kapitel, because that kapitel has 9 times the word koil in it. That is why we say 9. That's where we learn to say 9 brachas in Shemana Esrei in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah.
As was suggested by.
Yes. Okay, Umanayin Shem and Malchus Zechonis for Shofaris, and then how do we know you say the 3 brachas of Malchus Zechonis and Shofaris? Rabbi Eliezer says it like this. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says about Rosh Hashanah, Shabboson, it's a day of rest, Zichroin Trua, remembrance of Trua, Mikra Kodesh, it's a calling of holiness. So we parish it as follows, Rabbi Eliezer says. Shabboson, Zechdusha Tiyam. The word Shabboson means the bracha and Kedusha Tiyam, the bracha Atav HaChatanu, which mentions that the fact that it's Yom Tov. Zichroin Elo Zichroinis, Trua Elo Shofaris. Mikra Kodesh, the word Mikra Kodesh means Kadsheyo Basiyas Melacha. Means it's a Yom Tov. You have to make it holy by abstaining from work. Amale Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva tells him, if Neymala, Nemer Shabbos, and if Neymala, Nemer, so why shouldn't we learn it differently? Shabbos means Shavuos. Shabbat Pasach HaKazat Tchila. The word Shabbos at the beginning of the Pasuk should be the main thing, Shavuos, that you have to rest. Because first you define that it's a Yom Tov, then you start saying, what are you doing on this Yom Tov? Doesn't make sense to put the fact that it's a Yom Tov last and the brachas first. Like, why are you saying these? Why are you telling me you should say these brachas? You don't yet know that it's a Yom Tov, basically. Ella, so no, he says the other way around. Shabbosin means Hatsheu Basiyas Malacha. The word Shabbosin means make it holy by not doing work. Zikaron Ela Zichronis, Trua Ela Shofaris, and Mikro Kodesh Zukdusha Siyam. The word Mikro Kodesh means that you have to say the Bracha of Dusha Siyam.
Yeah, but it's the first thing of the Yom, it's not the first Yom.
But in a way it is, because you have already the restrictions, as how Rashi puts it, you have the restrictions of Yom Tov come first, and later on, the next day, you have the Bracha, you have the Bracha. Yeah, so first comes the Kedushas Hayom. So therefore, it makes sense to say that comes first, and then you list the Zichronis and Shofaris, and the fact that you say the Bracha of Kedushas Hayom, the fact that you say the Bracha of Atav HaChatanu. Okay, well then, Minayin Shoyim and Malchus, fine. Where do we know that? So far, we know the Zichronis and Shofaris. Where do we know that you say the Bracha Malchus? Tanya, Rebbe Omer, because the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Alekeichem Uvachodesh Hashvi. At the end of the Torah talks about the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and then after that the Torah says, make sure when you're harvesting your field to leave the Matnas Aniyim, the Leket, Shikha, etc. Don't make sure not to take it away from them. Ani Hashem Alekeichem, and then the very next words are Uvachodesh Hashvi. In the 7th month you have the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah.
That comes from where?
So that's what we said. It comes from Zichron and Trua, because the Pasuk is Zichron and it says Trua. That comes from the Pasuk, the Shabbos and Zichron and Trua. Shabbos and Zichron and Trua is a Pasuk in Emor. The previous Pasuk, also in Emor, finishes off, don't take the lekeh and the payah for yourself, leave it for the poor people, and then it continues, the next Pasuk, in the 7th month, on the first day is Rosh Hashanah. So by that Hekesh tells us Zumalchus in the seventh month on Rosh Hashanah you have to mention that Hashem is your God, meaning to say that He's King.
So
that gives us Malchus. That's what Rabbi said. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, I'm in a surah. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says I don't need that. And actually, Mepharshim point out Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says is not just saying you don't need that. He follows his father. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in general throughout the Torah we don't darish and smuchim. When you have two psukim juxtaposed, one talking about one thing and the next one talking about something else, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold in the first four chumashim that has any particular significance. I mean, Hashem had to give the mitzvah sometime. In the fifth Chumash, in Devarim, which is all Moshe's speeches to the Jewish people, he holds of Smuchim. This is in Vayikra. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Smuchim, and Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda follows his father in that. So rather, he says, I have a different pasuk. Hareyu Omer, the pasuk says, V'hoyu lochem lezikorin lefnei elekechem, that when you blow the trumpets from last week's parasha, and you blow the chatzotzes, it should be remembrance for you before Hashem. The pasuk does not then have to finish off Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem your God. So why does it say that? It makes a binyan av. Any place, whenever you're saying zechronis, you malchius the moment that you have to have malchius with them, because that's what the pasuk is saying. And along with the zikaron, there has to be Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that you're acknowledging Hashem as your king, as your God, and as your king. That's malchius. So therefore, any time, which means not just on Rosh Hashanah, that's why we said on Yom Kippur, you say on Yom Kippur of Yovel, you say the same three brachas. Mepharshim discussed, does this also apply to a Tainus Sibur? We're going to learn in Tainus in a couple of weeks, that on a Tainus Sibur, there's a machlokas and a mission over there, whether they used to also say Zechronis and Shofaris in the Shemoneh Esrei over there. If they did,
for the same reason,
in order that Hashem should remember us, and then they're blowing the Shofar, and then Hashem should remember us and send rain, or whatever it was they're davening for. So there's different ways of looking at it. When we say over here, L'chol Mokim, does that include Tanesim as well? Or is it not? Does he mean every place, meaning Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but not Taniyos? A bit of discussion about it. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda might hold, like the opinion over there. I think actually Rabbi Yosi says in the Mishnah over there that no, you don't say Zechronis and Shofaris on a Tainus at all. Rather, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda actually who says, so in that case, again, he's going according to his father, that you don't. Instead, you say two other brachas. So therefore, you don't even call them, say Zechronis and Shofaris on Tanesim, and therefore there's no reason to talk about Malchus. The Heichan Omra, now, where do you say the bracha of Malchus? L'kdushas Hayom. You say it together with Kdushas Hayom, like Rabbi Akiva said in our Mishnah, that you combine together Atav HaChartanu and Malchus. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, it's actually a three-way machlokas. We had in our Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, then we had Rabbi Akiva, and now we're going to have more opinions. Rabbi Omra, Ima Malchus Omra. Rabbi says that you say Kdushas Hayom together with Malchus. Why? Mama Sina B'chomokim B'Rabiyas, just like always in every other Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos and Yom Tov throughout the year, the bracha of Kedushas Hashem is the fourth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Because again, you have Ovid, Kedushas Hashem, and then comes Kedushas Hashem, so it's number four. Afkan B'Rabiyas said the same thing now also, Kedushas Hashem has to be the fourth, and therefore you're going to do like Rabbi Akiva and combine Malchus with it. Rather than like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, it would work according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri also. You'd have the third bracha is combined after Kadosh and Malchus, but Rabbi doesn't hold of that. Rabbi is saying that you combine it together with Kedushas Hashem. Kedushas Hashem has to be fourth.
Fourth bracha,
Rachol Makam, every other Shemoneh Esrei of every other Shemoneh Esrei of Yom Tov and of Shabbos and Yom Tov, Kedushas Hashem is always the fourth bracha. But now we're going to have a different opinion. Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, Ima Zechronis, Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you say Kedushas Hashem together with Zechronis. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the order of Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah is like this. Obis Gvuris Kedushas Hashem, Kedushas Hashem all by itself, Obis Gvuris Kedushas Hashem, then Malchus, then Kedushas Hashem combined together with Zechronis, not like we do with Malchus, but rather combined with Zechronis. Then Shofaris by itself as the sixth bracha, and then Avodah Hodah and Birkas Kohanim. Why? Ma Matzina B'chol Makom Be'emtza, because throughout the year we always find the bracha of Kedushas Hashem is the middle bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. You usually have seven brachas, so and Kedushas Hashem is the fourth out of seven. Afkan Be'emtza, so now if you have nine brachas, then Kedushas Hashem should be the fifth of them. Uch Shekitshu Beis Din Hashanah Be'usha. So one time it happened when Beis Din was Mekadish the year, they declared Rosh Hashanah in Usha, which was, as we learned yesterday, Usha was one of the places where the Sanhedrin was headquartered twice. Yorod Rabbi Yechon ben Berakeh lefnei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel va'asecher Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Rabbi Yechon ben Berakeh served as chazan. Yorod means he went down to daven by the Amud in front of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel va'asecher Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, and he acted like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri of our Mishnah. He combined together Malchus together with Atah Kodesh. Which, as I said before, the Yerushalmi says that was the minhag in the Galil. evidently Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. Evidently, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breka figured we're in Usha, which is in the Galil. We should follow the local minhag. That's not how they did in Yavne. In the times of my father, Rabbi Gamliel, when the Sanhedrin was in Yavne, they didn't do it that way. The second day, whether that means the second day of Rosh Hashanah or what, we'll talk about soon. Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yitzhak Gvili, was chazen, but also Rabbi Akiva, and he did like Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. Yes, that's how they did it in Yavne. Why? You're telling me Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Akiva? But Rabbi Akiva had said that you put together Malchus with Kedushas HaYoyim as the fourth bracha. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Kedushas HaYoyim as Achronis Amalahu. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had said that Malchus is say by itself. Again, after you finish Melech HaKadosh, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you immediately go to Aleinu in the beginning of Malchus. You do the whole Malchus. You finish off Melech HaKadosh. Then you do the fifth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, begins with after Bechartanu and then continues with the Zechronis. So he doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva either. Why is he telling Rabbi Chanina that this is how they did in Yavne? The answer is you're right. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't completely agree with Rabbi Akiva, but he agrees with him to the extent that you do blow shofar by Malchus. When Rabbi Yechim and Breka was chazen and he did like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri meant they didn't blow shofar after Malchus. They only did like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri says in the Mishnah. They blew after Kedushas HaYoyim, after the Chorinus and after shofar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say no. The way they did it in Yavne, they did blow after each of Malchus, the Chorinus and shofar. He's not taking a position on whether you need to combine Malchus or the Chorinus with Kedushas HaYoyim. Fine, he can disagree with Rabbi Akiva on that, but at least Rabbi Chanina had acted the way that he wanted to as far as the tkiyas. Now we said the yom hasheni yoda Rabbi Chanina. We said the second day Rabbi Chanina went to daven by the yomud. What do you mean my sheni? What do you mean the second day? Ilaimish yom tov sheni. You mean the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Lememra da'abru la elul. Does that imply that they made elul 3 days? Because obviously this is in Usha where the Sanhedrin was. They wouldn't have had the problem where they don't know what day Rosh Chodesh is. That would only be a problem elsewhere because the Shulchan can't travel on Yom Tov. In Usha itself, obviously, they knew. So the only way they'd have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah would be if they made it 30 days. Yeah, it doesn't matter, but that's the way they were Makadosh the Chodesh, we're saying. But so the only way they would have a 2-day Rosh Hashanah is if they made Elul Mo'aber, but can't be. But Omer of Chanina Bar Kahana, we had this earlier, Mimois Ezra Va'elach Lematzinu Elul Mo'aber. From the time of Ezra onward until Rav, who recorded this, we never found an Elul that was 30 days. In Ezra's times, yes, it happened that they had to make Elul 30 days, the pasuk that implies that they had a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. But in the 600-700 years after that, never. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is during that period. How could it be? There was a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. The answer is Amar Chista. My sheni liam sheni l'shana haba. You're right. When it says the second, it means the next year. So they had only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. The following year, Rav Chanina was the chazen. Rav Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yitzhak Gvili, was the chazen and did it a different way than Rabbi Yechim and Breka did it.
And how did he do it?
He did it like we said. He did like Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Shimon Gamliel tells him, yes, that's how they did it in Yavne, not in the sense as far as the order of the brachos that he disagreed with Rabbi Akiva as well, but at least as far as the order of the tkiyas. And they blew after Malchus as well.
What happened to Yom Rishon with them?
They only had 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, that's the point. Yom Sheni means the second day, means not the following day, not Beis Tishrei, but rather Aleph Tishrei the following year. but that's what the Gemara is saying.
The first day of Rosh Hashanah the year after.
No, so it means the 1 day of Rosh Hashanah the following year. Mishnah says, "In person ma'asara malchus, you can't do less than 10 psukim for malchus, ma'asara zechronus, ma'asara shofar, or 10 psukim for zechronus and 10 for shofar." Rabbi Yechim and Nuri Omer, im Omer gimel mikulon yotze. If you do just 3 for each of them, then you yotze. Yeah. Well, the Gemara is going to ask what exactly Rabbi Yechim and Nuri means, but yeah. The first question was, "Hani asara malchus kenegin mi?" What are these 10 psukim from Malchus, what do they correspond to? And not just for Malchus, for Zechronis and Shofar as well. Omer Rebbe, or on the side it says maybe of Levi, Keneged Asora Hilulim Shalom David B'Sefer Tillim. It corresponds to the ten expressions of a Hallel, of praise to Hashem, that David said in Tillim. So what do you mean? Hilulim Tuvah Ava. You have a lot of places in Tillim where it uses the word Hallel, Halleluka, Hallelu, etc. The answer is Hanukkah Tibur Halalur B'Seikah Shofar. Right. We're referring only to the ones that are in the capital that has the pasuk in it, Halalur B'Seikah Shofar. Praise Hashem with the sound of the shofar. So therefore, that's appropriate to Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, that's one reason why we say that capital in the middle. We say that capital in shofars.
There's 10
there's more that we have more than 10 psukim for shofars anyway. But we say 3 psukim from Torah, 3 from ksuvim, 3 and then we have this as well, and then 3 from Nevi'im, and we'll see soon the order. Yeah. Which Marsha points out, you actually have 13 times that it says the Shodesh Hallel in that capital. But we have, if you discount the caption Hallelujah and the first one Hallelujah Kael B'Kodesh, which is kind of a generic expression, and then the last one, you count Hallelujah Kael B'Kodesh. You discount Hallelujah at the beginning, and you discount at the end Kol Neshama to Hallelujah Hallelujah. So therefore, you take two from the end, one from the beginning, so you're left with 10. Yeah. Rabbi Yosef Amar Kenegad Aseret HaDibros Shenemar LaMoshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Yosef says corresponds to the Aseret HaDibros. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kenegad Aseret HaMamaros Shebein Nivra Olam. Rabbi Yochanan says corresponds to the 10 sayings with which Hashem created the world. We ask, what do you mean? Hey, Ninu, what are the Aseret HaMamaros? Vayomer, Vayomer. All the times it says Vayomer Dibreishis. Tesavu. If you count up the times in Ma'is Dibreishis that it says Vayomer, there's only 9. And the famous answer is Bereshis Nami Maimahu. The word Bereshis itself is also a saying of Hashem. It counts as one of the Asara Mamoris. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu. By the word of Hashem, the heavens were made. So if it says Bereshis Bara Elakim Asa Shemayim Asa Arad, then it has to mean that the Bereshis itself is considered a Maimer. It's considered a saying of Hashem. So why Taka doesn't say Vayomer then? Why does the Torah just begin Bereshis? And there's lots and lots of different places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that Bereshis represents Keser, or represents Chochmah, which is higher than all the other spheres. So therefore, it's like it can't even be in the same category as them. It is, in a way, in the same category. It's also a mimer, but it's also higher than all of them, and therefore it's of a different kind. All the other ones are introduced by Yomer Hashem, or by Yomer Elikim, rather. This one is not introduced with that, because it's of a completely different kind. Sort of. But it doesn't say Anoich either, but yeah.
No.
Yeah. There's also the idea that Vayomer, the Vayomer Elokim implies that Hashem is speaking to something else. So, you know, there's already a world which, so to speak, seems to be separate from Hashem, and therefore it's something you can speak to, like you speak to somebody else. Whereas Bereshit is Hashem creating the original raw material. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Looking at symptoms. So, yeah.
Well, there's never anything else. But
there's never anything else. We're talking about perceptive, you know. Yeah. Why are they giving these different answers? Some of Farshim say that actually each of these answers relates to one of the three brachas. The ten hilulim, since it says Hallelujah B'Seikah Shofar, correspond to shofars. The Asara hilulim rather correspond to Malchius. The ten ma'amores of Ma'aseh Bereishis correspond to Zichronus, that every Hashem created the world, and every year He remembers us on that day. And the ten and the Asara Hadibros correspond to shofars, because the Torah was given with Kol Shofar. The fact that there's three different answers over here, the ten hilulim that are in Tehillim correspond to Malchius, that we're enthroning Hashem as king and praising Him. The Asara ma'amores Shebein Nivra Olam correspond to Zichronus, that Hashem remembers the world every year on the anniversary when it was created, or on the anniversary that it created Adam Edition, actually. And the Asara correspond to the ten psukim of shofars, because the Torah was given b'kol shofar. That's the theme that we talk about in the bracha of shofars, is Matan Torah, is the shofar of Matan Torah. There's a different answer, that there's a different explanation that I saw, I think, from the Shalach Kaddish, that each of them is saying something that relates to his, that relates to who he is. Rebbe is descended from Malchus Beis David, therefore he finds something from Tillim that David wrote. Rabbi Yosef is called Sinai in a few places in the Gemara, so he associates it with Matan Torah. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, in Bava Metzia, was as beautiful as Adam Rishon. He had the beauty of Yaakov, which was a semblance of the beauty of Adam Rishon, and therefore he thinks in terms of Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Pesukim of Ma'aseh Bereishis, yeah, which culminates with the creation of Adam, yeah. Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan Menuri Omer Im Amar Shalosh Shalosh Mikolon Yotza. That Rabbi Yochanan Menuri said that you Yosef, you say three psukim of each of them. He boyelahu. So now they have the question: what does it mean? Heichitani. What is it trying to say? Does he mean Shalosh Min HaTorah, Shalosh Min HaNeviim, Shalosh Min HaKesuvim? Does he mean you Yosef, you say three psukim from Torah, three from Neviim, three from Ksuvim, the Habutesha, which totals up to 9, the Ikabinayu Chada, and then there's only a Nachkamina between him and the Tanakama of 1. Tanakama is saying you have to do 10 psukim for each segment, for each bracha, and he's saying you can get away with 9. Oidilma, or maybe he means Echad min Torah ve'Echad min Anavim ve'Echad min Aksuvim, one pasuk each from Torah and Anavim Aksuvim, the Avin Lahushalish, which comes out three for Malchus, three for Zechronis, and three for Shoferis, Ve'Echad min Aksuvim, and then there's a big difference. The Hanukkah is saying you need 10 for each one, and Rabbi Yechad min Nuri is saying you can get away with 3 for each one. So what is it? Tashma, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ein posin ma'asara Malchus, ma'asara Zechronis, ma'asara Shoferis, Ve'im oma sheva mikulon yotza, but if you say 7 for each one of them, then you're yotza. Connected Shiva Rakim, because that corresponds to the seven heavens.
It's still less than 10.
1 second, wait. So the point is, the Tanakh, so far we have, in other words, the Tanakhama in the Braisa is saying that, not like the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, that it has to be 10 and no less. You can be Yotza with 7. But wait. Then Rabbi Yechman Nuri Omer, Rabbi Yechman Nuri says, Hapoichus la Yivchus Misheva. On the contrary, he says, what you, Tanakhama of the Braisa, are saying is, B'dievet, I say is Lahatchila, you should do not less than 7. But if you say 3 of all of them together, then you're Yotze. Can I get Torah and Levim Aksuvim to correspond to Torah and Levim Aksuvim? But Amri lo can Kayim Levim Yisraelim, or others say that corresponds to Kayim Levi and Yisrael. So therefore, you see, obviously he means 3 altogether, because if he meant three of Torah, 3 of Nevi'im, 3 of Ksuvim, total 9, then that's more. What do you mean? You have to say like a Chila 7, but B'dievet you can say 9. That would be backwards.
Say
the
Chila 9.
Yeah. Right.
Question that he said.
If he says shalish shalish mikol, it means 3 for each bracha.
What's the lashon? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says shalish shalish mikol.
3 for each, for each of them, meaning 3 for Malchus, 3 for Zechronis, 3 for Shofar.
That's 9.
That's but 9 throughout the whole Shemana Esrei, but 3 for each bracha, 3 for each segment. That's what we're talking about, as opposed to the Tanakhama is saying that you need to have 10 altogether for Malchus. 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, and 3 from Ksuvim, and we'll talk about soon what the 10th pasuk has to be.
And
he's saying 3. Now you're Yotze if you do 3. 1 from Torah, 1 from Nevi'im, and 1 from Ksuvim for Malchus, and similarly for Zechronis, and similarly for Shofars. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, you have to have 3 pasukim altogether between the 3 brachas, and according to Rabbi Yechon Menuri, you only need 9.
30 because there's 10... Because
there's 10 for each. 10 for each bracha. Yeah. And of those 10, they're made up of 9, of 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, 3 from Ksuvim, and one more, which we'll talk about what the one has to be.
So that's 30.
Yeah. Tosfos points out an interesting thing in this connection, by the way. Why is it, if you look in the order of the brachas, as we say them on Rosh Hashanah, we do Torah, then Ksuvim, then Nevi'im. Why? Shouldn't you put Nevi'im before Ksuvim? The Tosfos gives the answer, because all the Ksukim that we use for Ksuvim come from Tillim. And Tillim was written before most of the Nevi'im. Tillim was written by David HaMelech. The Nevi'im that we're using Psukim from are mostly afterwards. Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Trey, also they're all from long after David. So therefore we put them in chronological order. Mishnah said, Omar Shmuel Halacha of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. The Halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, you only need 3. And actually, we're going to talk about it at the very end, on the last day when we make the siyum.
We
actually do 10, but because we should be yotze l'chadeus. But we can say, if a person doesn't know better, they can say 3. We're going to actually talk about, on Lamed Hei Avad Aleph, at the very end of the Masechta, that there is a possibility, according to some of Rishonim's understanding of the Gemara, that you may be able to get away without saying any at all, if you don't know any psukim. We'll talk about it then, in a few days. Mishnah says, Ein maskirin zichron malchus v'shofar shall put onus. You're not allowed to mention in the Rosh Hashanah davening a pasuk of zichronus or malchus or shofarus of puronus, the punishment of the Jewish people. Well, that's what the Mishnah is saying, and the Gemara is going to give examples. Mas next in mas chobat Torah or mashlem banavi. You have to finish. You have to start off the 10 psukim with psukim from Torah and finish off with a pasuk from Navi. So you're doing 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, and another one from Nevi'im. So you're doing 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, and 4 from Nevi'im. Yeah. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, Ishlam HaTorah Yotze. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if you're Mashlim with a pasuk from Torah, then you're Yotze.
Right.
But yeah, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. It's not, we'll talk about in the Gemara, because that's how we do it nowadays. We do finish off with a pasuk from Torah.
Repeat another pasuk as the 10th one?
No, not repeat another, but find another pasuk from Torah as the 10th one.
At the end, towards
the end of the bracha, yeah. At the end of each of the 3 brachas, yeah. You know what? Let's learn the Gemara, and then this will become a little clearer, and we can also look in a siddur and see, in fact, how we do it nowadays. So what are some examples of psukim that are put on us, and therefore we can't use them? Malchius, an example of Malchius put on us, would be going. The pasuk says, "Chai oni," in a pasuk in Yechezkel, "Chai oni nu'um Hashem alekim, as I live, I, as I live, says Hashem alekim, im loy b'yod chazaka, that it will certainly be that with a strong hand, or with zroya naturya, and with an outstretched arm, or v'chema shmucha, and with poured out fury, emloy chalechem, I'll rule over you." This is the context is the Jewish people are saying, you know what, we're in Golos, Hashem has given up on us, fine, we're giving up on Hashem, we're going to go be like the Goyim and worship Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, absolutely not, whether you like it or not, I'm your king. And even though Rab Nachman says, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hashem should have that kind of anger against us and take us out of Golos. Yes, if Hashem has to force the issue that he has to be angry at us in order to make himself king over us and we're going to listen to him and that's what it takes to get us out of Golos, fine, let him go ahead and do that, Rav Nachman is saying. But even so, we don't want to use such a pasuk, given the Berischa Amor, since it was said in anger, and we don't want to mention Hashem's anger on Rosh Hashanah. This is, by the way, the source of why also we don't mention sins in any of the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. We take out the lines in Avinu Malkeinu, that refer Avinu Malkeinu Chatzon Lefanecha, and the other ones, we're very careful in the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah to not mention chet, because you don't want to mention negative things on Rosh Hashanah. It's also that we don't eat bitter things then, we don't eat nuts, because yeah.
So we have a parsha, a pasuk in this parsha, today's parsha,
That's about the Meraglim. Chai oni nu im loy kasher dibat abaz. But it doesn't say anything about Malchus over there.
But that
doesn't mention Malchus, so it's not. Yeah.
What do you think Malchus is here?
So that would be an example one that you can't use in Malchus.
Emlochalem means forcefully.
Yeah. Zikaron, Kigun Vayizku Kibasahema, we're going to an example of a pasuk of Zikaronis that you can't use, be that it says in Tilim, Hashem remembered that they're but flesh, that they're, you know, they're angering him in the midbar, and Hashem realizes, you know what, they're human beings, this is what people do. Ruach Holech Vala Yashu. Shofar, an example of Shofar, would you can tickle Shofar for Bagiva? A pasuk from the Navi Hosea, blow the Shofar and Giva, the enemies are attacking, so get together to run away. Again, you don't want to mention this. Not forceful, but it's a peronus to the Jewish people that they're going to be harassed by their enemies. Avol in Baloim and Malchus Zichron and Shofar Shachronus Shalav Dikachavim Omer. But if you want to say a pasuk of Malchus Zichronus and Shofar that has to do with the punishment of Goyim, that you can do. Malchus Kigun Hashem Moloch Yugaz Ramim. An example of a pasuk of Malchus would be the pasuk Hashem Moloch Yugaz Ramim. Hashem is king. The nations tremble. No, we don't. We could.
Peronus.
Yeah, it's peronus. Yugaz Ramim. They're trembling out of fear of punishment. Yeah. Uchagoyin, and another example, would be Hashem Melech Olam Vod, Ogdu Goyim Maritim. Hashem is king forever and ever. The nations have been destroyed from his land. Zikaron, what would be an example of Zikaronis? Zikaron Hashem Levnei Edom, Goyim, like it says, remember Hashem for Bnei Edom, what they did when they destroyed Yerushalayim. Shofar, what would be an example of Shofar of Quranis? Going by Hashem Elohim by Shofar Yiska. A pasuk from Ischaya, Hashem Elokim will blow with a shofar, v'holach b'sareis teman, and he'll go in the storms of the south to punish the goyim. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, Hashem tzvakas yogan aleim, Hashem will protect them. Why do you have to? Now we do in fact say that one in shofaris. We do use this as one of the ones from shofaris. So why, Taka, do we have to say that Hashem tzvakas yogan aleim is the beginning of the next pasuk? Why do we have to say that? Two different reasons are given. One is because the pasuk Hashem Elokim Hashofar Yiska does not make it clear that it's talking about Puranas of Goyim. V'holach b'sareis teman, he's going to come in storm winds from the south. That could also mean to punish the Jewish people. But when it continues, Hashem Tzvakas Yogan Aleim, that Hashem will protect them, meaning the Jewish people, then we understand the previous pasuk is referring to the Goyim. That's one, and another explanation is similarly, if you want to say a pasuk of Malchus, the Cronus, and Shofaris that has the Puranas of Goyim and also the saving of the Jewish people, then good. It can't only be Puranas of Goyim. If you only say the pasuk v'holach b'sareis teman, you only have the punishment of the Goyim. Where is the good for the Jewish people? Hashem tzvakas yogan aleim, that's the good of the Jewish people, and therefore you can use it. And we take it too. So you have to have something good. According to that explanation, you have to have something good for us as well. And we take it say that. And we continue with a wish. Kein togan alam chayisya b'shlamecha. Hashem should always protect us. Yeah.
Going to be a yogan
aleim? Aleihem is the Lashon HaPasuk, because it's written in third person, it's talking about the future.
How do we know aleihem is the future?
The Pashtos, Hashem's not protecting the Goyim for no good reason, and the context over there is also, over there is, yeah. Another deen, in Maskirin Zikaron Shal Yachid, you're not to mention a pasuk of Zikaron of remembrance of a Yachid, of an individual, but feel the tova, even if it's for good. Kugoin, Zachareni Hashem Betonamacha, like the pasuk in Tillim, that David says, Hashem, remember me within the favor of your people. Or Kugoin Zachra Lielakai Latova, or like Nehemiah says a few times in Sefer Nehemiah, remember me, Hashem, for good. Because of Yachid. But still, but he's not the whole nation. Another din, Pikdonus Harein Kizachronus, a pasuk that says the word Pikadon, that says the word Pokad, for example, is the equivalent of Zachronus, Kugan Vashem Pokad Asara, like for example, the pasuk Hashem remembered Sara, or Kugan Pokad Pokati Eskimo, like the pasuk I've certainly remembered you, Divir Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Ma'enin Kizachronus, Rabbi Yehuda says no, they're not considered like Zachronus, because different Mepharshim talk about why Marsha explains the word as Pikida to mean something for the future. We are in Poxy, for example, in the future. When I remember, then I'll remember it. Zikaron means something immediate, right now, at all times. You want Zikaron is that Hashem should remember us for good, that Hashem should Shayala Zikaron from the Teva. You don't just want it to be something in the future, you want it to be something at all times.
But it means,
in other words, according to Marashah, Pakat means like something for the future. We said in the first paragraph, Hashem Pakat Asara means that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decided that year Sara is going to become pregnant and have a child. So it didn't happen right away. Yeah. Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Yossi. So, okay, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're saying you're allowed to use Pikdonus. Nehi namid the Pikdonus Arenis as a Chronus. Okay, fine. So that you're allowed to use Pikdonus instead of a Chronus. Still, how are you allowed to use Vashem Pocket of Soda? Pikodin the Yochid. You're back to the problem that it's Pikodin of an individual. The answer is Kivin to also Rabbim Inas, since many people, since the whole Jewish people descend from her, Kirabim Damya, that's considered like the Rabbim, it's considered like something collective for the people. We do a similar thing in Zechronus. We don't use Sukkim of Pikodin in Zechronus, because as much as possible, we do try to follow all the opinions. So we do try to satisfy Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as well, and therefore we taka use all Sukkim that say the word Zechorin. But we do say, the first pasuk of Zechronus that we say is the one where it says Hashem remembered Noach. Now, don't you have the same problem? It's the Koran of a Yachid. Again, the answer is the whole world descends from him, so it's okay. Which actually, Mepharshim say, that's why we make a point of mentioning in the bracha over there, we say, Alkein Zechroni Bolofanecha, Lahabas Zarek, Afris Table. We make a point of mentioning that his remembrance came before you, that you should make his descendants as many as the dust of the earth. That helps explain why are we using this pasuk, even though it's the Koran of a Yachid, because not a Yachid, the whole world descends from him. No, it's not giving a bracha. We're saying that Hashem, just like Hashem remembered Noach, so Hashem should remember us. Besides, we are talking about the whole world. Hashem remembers. We start off the bracha. Hashem remembers everything that goes on in the world. Yeah. Another din, another machalikas rather, the pasuk says like this, Su'usharam Rashaychem, lift up your heads, O gates, and raise yourself up your eternal doors, the Yavim Melech HaKavod, the king, the honorable king should come, Mizem Melech HaKavod, who is the honorable king, Hashem Isus V'Gibber, Hashem is powerful and mighty, Hashem Gibber Melchama, Hashem is powerful in war. Again, Su'u Sharem HaShaychem, Su'u Pischeilem, lift up your heads, gates, and lift yourselves up eternal doors, the Yavim Melech HaKavod, and the king of honor, the glorious king should come, Mirzem Melech HaKavod, who is the glorious king, Hashem Tzvachos Melech HaKavod Tzela. So we have, if you look in the Pesukim, you have five times that uses the word Melech. How many of those count? Rishona Shtayim, the first give and take, the first two Pesukim count as two. One for the word Melech HaKavod, and one for each time that it says Melech HaKavod, V'yavei Melech HaKavod, and Mizeh Melech HaKavod. Shnia Shalosh, the second time around, counts as three. V'yavei Melech HaKavod, Mizeh Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvachos of Melech HaKavod Tzela. So it counts as five then. No, two and then three.
Two and three,
yeah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rishona Achas Shnia Shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the first one counts as only one. Because you can't count the question, Mi Uzem Melech HaKavod. That's not saying that Hashem is king. That's asking who is the king. You can only count the one, V'yavei Melech HaKavod. And the second time around also, you can count. You can't count Mi, you can count V'yavei Melech HaKavod. And you can count Hashem Tzvachos Melech HaKavod Tzela. You can't count Mi Uzem Melech HaKavod. So that's three then. Yeah. According to Rabbi Yehuda. A similar thing. There's a pasuk that says also in Tillim, Zamru Elikim Zameru, sing to Hashem, sing. Zamru Lamakenu Zameru, sing to our king, sing. Ki Melech Kala Aretz Elikim, because Hashem is king over the whole earth. So how many does it count? You have Makenu and you have Melech Kala Aretz. So Shtayim, Divri Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says it counts as two. Rabbi Yehuda Ima Achas. Rabbi Yehuda says it only counts as one, because when you're saying Zamru Lamakenu, meaning you're only making Hashem our king, that's not enough. You have to have Sukkim that demonstrate that Hashem is king over the whole world. So only Kimela Hakala Aris and Akim counts as that. Zamru the Malkanim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't count.
Why our king enough?
Because it's only our king of us Jewish people. That's not enough. The point of Malchus is that he's king over the whole world. Melech HaKal Aretz, as we say at the end of the bracha. The Shavin, and they both agree, the Malach HaLakim HaGoyim, HaLakim Yashav, HaKisei Kodshei, in the pasuk, also in that same kapitel that says, Hashem is ruled over the Goyim, Hashem sits on his holy throne, Shehu Achas, that counts as only one. You don't say that he sits on his throne counts as another one, because that's an expression of Malchus. No, you only count the Malach HaLakim HaGoyim. Another machlokes, zikaron sheyesh betrua. What if you have a pasuk that mentions both the word zikaron and the word trua? Kigoyin shabbos and zichron trua mikra kodesh. Oimrim as zichronis v'oimrim as shayfris. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says you can say that pasuk together with zichronis, and then you can repeat it again later on in the bracha of shayfris because it has both themes in it. That's what Rabbi Yosi says. Rabbi Yehuda alayim as zichronis v'vad. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you can only say it with zichronis. He says you can't use one pasuk twice. You can use it for zichronis. We'll see soon. He holds that Trua doesn't count for Shofaris anyway. But the point is, you can't repeat a pasuk twice for two different brachas. Similarly, Malchus Yeshem et Trua. What if you have a pasuk that has Malchus and Trua together? Hashem is God is with him, and the Trua of the king is with him. Again, Omerim Malchus for Omerim Shofaris. Rabbi Yosi says you can say it together with Malchus, and you can say it together with Shofaris. So says Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda Omerim Malchus Bavad. You can only say it with Malchus because again, he says you can't repeat one pasuk twice. How about Trua She'enim Aloy Klum? What about a pasuk that mentions Trua and nothing else? You're going Yom Trua Yielachem. For example, you have a pasuk Yom Trua Yielachem. Omerim Shofaris. Rabbi Yosi says you can say it together with Shofaris. Rabbi Yehuda, and Omer Kolitzer, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't say it at all because it doesn't mention the word shofar in it. You can get a tshuva from Chatzotzeris, for example. Actually, it's interesting, you know, if we look at the psukim that we use for shofaris, we do psukim from the Torah that refer to the shofar by Matan Torah, we do psukim from ksuvim, various psukim, tukum achor to shofar, halaluk, halaluk, hel bakodshay, etc., that mention the shofar. We have three psukim from Nevi'im, finishing off with Hashem Tzvokas Yogan Aleim that we mentioned before. Then we start off, etc., the conclusion of the bracha, and in the middle of that we say the pasuk uviyom simchaskam of mayadechem, which mentions from last week's parasha that says uskatem b'chatzotzvit, you should blow with chatzotzvit. Now, are we saying that as a tenth pasuk? That would only be according to Rabbi Yosi, because according to Rabbi Yehuda it wouldn't work. It doesn't mention the word shofar. So some rishonim say yes, in that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, and therefore we can use that pasuk for the tenth pasuk of shofar. Other Rishonim, the Rosh brings, I think, from the Rav Yah, that as a matter of fact, that one does not count as one of the ten Psukim of Shofaris. Rather, he says, that is why, because it doesn't have the word Shofar in it, that is why, even after we've done three Psukim from Tillim that have the word Shofar in them, we continue with the whole kapitel, Halleluka, Halleluka, Hail B'Kontrei, etc., because it has in it Halleluhu B'Seika Shofar. So therefore, what we're doing is, in that case, because there's no choice, we didn't find another pasuk in Chumash that has the word shofar in it. So instead, we do the fourth pasuk of Ksuvim. Even though the Mishnah had said the fourth pasuk, the tenth pasuk is supposed to be from Navi, and then we're going to see soon in the Gemara really it should be from Chumash. But the Rav Yah says you don't have a choice, so you do from Ksuvim in that case. But the Rosh himself disagrees with that. He says that no, in fact, the pasuk of Yom Simchaskam does count as the tenth pasuk, and it is from the Torah.
And it's shofar
in it. No, not shofar in it. It's chatzar to it. But because it says of skatim, he says that's good enough. Because it says the word tkiya. The Mishnah said, "Maschal b'Torah Mashlam Novi." That you start out the each sequence of ten psukim. You start out with Torah and finish off with Novi. Rabbi Yosi Omim Hishlam b'Torah Yotzer. And Rabbi Yosi says, if you finish off with Torah, then you Yotzer b'Di'evet. Question is, what do you mean? Hishlam b'Di'evet Ein Chatzil Loi. Only if you finish with Torah, you Yotzer b'Chatzil. You shouldn't do that. But we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Omim Mashlam b'Torah Areiz Meshubach. On the contrary, the same Rabbi Yosi in the Braisa says, if you finish off with Torah, that's praiseworthy. So it is good to finish off with Torah. What do you mean that, if you finish with Torah? Ema, Mashlim, you're right. Our Mishnah shouldn't say, Im Hishlam HaTorah, if you finished off with Torah. Rather, our Mishnah should say, this is Mashlim HaTorah, that no, you finish off with Torah. Im Hishlam Katani. The Mishnah doesn't say Mashlim, which would be the Chatzchila. The Mishnah is clearly using a B'di'evit expression. Im Hishlam, if you finished off in B'di'evit, you Yotzeh. You can't change that. It's a D'evit in the Chatzchila Loi. The answer is no. You have the Mishnah is actually backwards. Hachi Kama. What the Mishnah means to say like this: Mascha b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. You start out with Torah and finish off with Navi. Not backwards, rather. The Mishnah is missing words. You start with Torah, you finish with Navi. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a mashlim b'Torah. Rabbi Yossi says, "Achtchila, you should be mashlim with Torah." The im hishlim b'Navi yotze. But if you finish off with a tenth pasuk from Navi, then b'di'evad you yotze. Yeah, that's what we're saying. For example, in Malchus, what do? We say, the Gemara is going to quote soon that there's only three psukim in all of Chumash that mention Malchus. Yeah. So we say those three, and then we finish off with a
Sarat.
Because we don't have, we're going to see soon. That's another machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether that one counts as a pasuk of Malchus. That halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. The careful people, the people who are careful in mitzvahs, used to finish off each of the brachos with a pasuk from Torah. So, you might have Bishlam as a Zechronis for Shofaris Ikatuva. Okay, when it comes to Zechronis and Shofaris, fine. You have a lot of psukim in each of the three parts of Tanakh that mention the Koran and that mention Shofar. So no problem. You can find enough psukim. Elam Malchus, but when it comes to Malchus, Tlas Hudahavian, there are only three psukim in Torah that refer to Hashem as king. Namely, Hashem Alei Kavi Moriah Suras Melech Boi, and Vayhi Bishurun Melech, and Hashem Yimlech Lelem Boi. Mind you, there are some Mefarshim actually who explain that Vayhi Bishurun Melech isn't even referring to Hashem, it's referring to Moshe. But obviously the Gemara is assuming that it refers to Hashem. But you only have three. Vanan Esav, Vanan Bein and Esav Aleka. We need to have 10, which you're saying that you're supposed to finish off with Torah. You're supposed to have three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im, and one more from Torah. Where's the one more from Torah? You don't have another one. Amar Abuna, Toshma, I'll bring you a proof because there's a Braita that discusses this very point. Or not this very point, but a related point from which we can get this. The Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that pasuk counts as Malchus. If you're saying Hashem is Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, there's no other existence other than Hashem, then obviously it means he's the king. It means he rules over everything. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yehuda I'm in a Malchus, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's not considered Malchus because it doesn't say the word Malchus. Similarly, the pasuk V'yadata Ayem Hashavayis Alavacha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Einoid. Same thing, Einoid. There's nothing else. Malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda I'm in a Malchus. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't count as Malchus. Same idea. When the pasuk says V'yadata Ayem Hashavayis Alavacha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shemayim Ma'alot V'Tachos Einoid. Again, Malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda I'm in a Malchus. And another one. But again, it says Einoid. There's nothing else. That implies Malchus. Right. Mefarshim actually asked. We had on Amud Aleph that one reason, one place we said, where do we learn from the whole concept that you have to say Malchus? It's in the pasuk Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So what's the problem with the pasuk that refers to Hashem as Elokeichem? That's the very place we learn the whole concept of Malchus. So many Mefarshim just leave it unresolved. In Chassidus, there's a couple of places in Maamar Chassidus that talk about the idea that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is beyond Malchus. It's Yichud Eilah. Baruch Hashem Machzor Lavad is Yichud Tatah. So according to Rabbi Yossi, fine, you can use a pasuk for Shema Yisrael because Yichud Eilah includes what's below it. Malchus includes all the other Malchus and Atzilus includes all the other Olamos below it. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, not. It's higher, it's a different kind of thing. So the point is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, you would not be able to finish off Malchus with the fourth pasuk from Torah, because you don't have another one. According to Rabbi Yossi, you can. And one more example, Atar Eitzel Daski Hashem Hu Elokim Einoid Mevadei Malchus, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Imeinu Malchus. Same idea, so you have, in other words, there's a bunch of psukim that according to Rabbi Yossi, you would be able to use as the fourth pasuk from Torah. So what are we doing? We'll leave the Mishnah for tomorrow, I think, but let's look at it.
Different.
I see in practice how we do it
nowadays. What
is the Malchus that explains to Avraham Avinu? Baruch Avraham, Mikael Elyon, Kornish Amayim Varet, you didn't use the word Malchus there. So what do we have in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? We have, when it comes to Malchus, we do Hashem Yimlech Lelem Vod, Hashem Alekavim Moritz Ruach Melech Vod, by Yibishur and Melech, those are the three circles the Gemara said are in Torah that mention Malchus. Then we start with Ksuvim, with Tilim, because Hashem Amlocho Mersh Magoyim, Hashem Moloch Kedus Lovish, and we do the whole thing of Sushar and Meshechem. Those are all for Tilim. And then we do the whole thing of Sushar and Meshechem, which again, according to Rabbi Yossi, Sushar and Meshechem itself, those four Ksuvim have five times Melech in them, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, they have three. So you're already well over 10. You're already well over them then. Then you have three from Nevi'im, Karim Hashem Melech Yisrael, V'ol Mashiach Ma'atiz V'haikul Hashem Amlocha, V'hay Hashem Melech, or V'sarach of Chatzal Leimash, Shema Yisrael Hashem Melech and Hashem Echad, which works according to the Yisrael. Zechroinus, we do a pasuk about Noach, V'yizkir Lekimus Noach, V'yizkir Lekimus Brisa, that Hashem remembers covenant with Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, and the Zechartias Brisa Yaakov, so there were the three psukim of Torah. We do three from Tillim, Zechroas and Mosaisa, V'yizkir Lein Brisa, V'yizkir Lein Brisa, three from Nevi'im, Zacharti Loch Hesed Neurayich, Zacharti Anies Brisi Oysach, Zachar and Kerenuoid, and we finish off with one from Torah, Zacharti Lehem Brisi Rishayim. That's exactly 10. 3, 3, 3, and 1. Shofarus, we do three from Torah, Vekol Shofar Chazak Ma'od, Vekol HaShofar, and Vekol HaShofar. We do from Tillim, we do all other kingdoms through Hashem, Vekol Shofar, Vachatotis Kol Shofar, Arulach Nehem Elach Hashem, Tikkur Bachodesh Shofar, so we already have three. Then we continue with the whole capital, Halukah, Halukah, the country. So like I said, the Rav Yoh says the reason we have to do that is because we're not going to have another pasuk for Shofar at the end. So we have to fill up with Pesukim from Tillim. So we fill it up with Halukah, Vatekah, Shofar. The Rosh himself disagrees with that. The Rosh says the reason why we add this capital is since we said before this capital is where we learn the whole concept of the 10 psukim for each of the three segments, so it's appropriate to say it over here. Then we do three psukim from Nevi'im, V'chizkaya Shefer Tishmo, V'hoi V'yemim Tachav Shefer Gadol, V'Hashem Elkim Shefer Yiska, and then we finish off with the Skatim B'chatzotis, which again, according to the Rav Yoh, is not really the 10th pasuk because it doesn't mention Shefer, and according to the Rosh it is. And that's that. Malchus says that we're crowning Hashem as king. Zechronus that we're saying that Hashem should that Hashem remembers, Hashem is mindful of everything that happens in the world, and He should remember us good. And Shofarus we said in the first parak, and we're going to say again in 2 days that Malchus Shetam Lifuni Aleichem should crown me as king over you. Zechronus Shi'al Lefanei Zechronechem LaTeifa. Zechronus we say that your remembrance should come before Hashem for good. Uvameh, and with what does our remembrance come before Hashem for good? For Shofar, and therefore we say Shofar.
Right.
You need to mention Malchus, yes.
How
do you know that? I mean, Rosh Hashanah, what about all the other festivals? Because the pasuk continues, talking specifically about Rosh Hashanah. And besides, we do say Malchus and another time in Chodesh Shvi as well. We say it on Yom Kippur of Yovel.
Right.
Yes. But it's also in the Chodesh Hashvi, is the point.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep. So therefore, yeah. So we do have that. We're going to learn tomorrow or the next day. The Gemara is going to point out that Kol Tkiyas Shal Chodesh Hashvi Yudzekazeh, that all the Tkiyas and similarly all the Brachas of the seventh month have to be the same. So anytime we're blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur of Yovel, it has to be the same sequence of Tkiyas and the same Brachas. So yeah, there is a comparison there made with Yom Kippur as well. Yeah.
The parties of the Sharki Lachis, it was said, air is the horrible.
True. But it's not Puranus. It's a Zacharti Lachas in Urayach. It's a positive thing.
You have to help right away after. Right away
will
be a
Puranus.
That
Hashem remembered that still many people survived it. That Hashem poured out His wrath on the Beis Hamikdash and spared the Jewish people collectively. You know, that's a big thing right there. Yes, and the pasuk continues over there. Yirmiyah continues over there. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Kol Eichel Yashamu. You know, after all said and done, the Jewish people are holy to Hashem, and whoever harms them is going to get punished. Nebuchadnezzar is being sent to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, but he's not going to get away with it.
Well,
it could have
been that
true
also, right?
Also true, right? That's, yeah, it was all part of the trap.
He did it
to do it, but he still gets punished for it. The Gemara puts it in Gittin that when Nero and Keso, Nero went to send his general to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, he starts doing all kinds of kishu to see whether he's going to be successful or not. He finds he is, but then he asks the kid to tell him a pasuk, and the kid reads him a pasuk from Yechezkel that says that the Edoim, that Hashem is going to take his revenge against Edoim through the Jewish people. So Niron starts thinking to himself, through the Jewish people. So Niron starts realizing to himself, wait a minute, what does that mean? It means Hashem wants the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. That's why all my kishuv was successful. But then he's going to wipe his hands on me, meaning he's going to hold me responsible after all. And therefore he ran away and ended up becoming a ger. But yeah, there is the idea that even though Hashem sends somebody as his messenger to do something, that the whole discussion we talked about a few days ago, there's a whole discussion that Rambam, other Rishonim discuss why that should be so, because Hashem didn't tell the person specifically, or because they exceeded their mandates, whatever, all the different possible reasons. But whatever it is, yeah. So yeah, Nebuchadnezzar was sent by Hashem, but he still ends up getting punished because he exceeded his mandate, because he wasn't doing it to fulfill Hashem's will. He's doing it because he himself is a cruel person, etc. Yeah. It's a nechama when our enemies get punished. Avada, yeah? That's why we said the Peron Estrogoyim, we can mention on Ashra. Yeah. All right, let's go out there and down.